Welcome back to episode 101 of the Shy Sports Weekly Podcast. Ty Kyle, how are we doing, boys?
This is my Jordan episode, my Jordan flu episode, I should say, because I'm coming off a bit
battling
of
the elements.
Yeah, I'm coming off a bit of a bender. I feel like
this dude's fucking sick.
I think I've been drunk or
nailed it.
Are you actually sick or just hungover?
No, I'm hungover. Definitely. Okay. This is not a illness.
Not a super spreader like your wedding was.
I'm at the point where I'm hungover. I'm watching the baseball game. They had like a stack of Gatorades, and I'm just thinking, God, I could use one of those right now. I'm at that.
I know the feeling. That's what happens.
I'm doing good though.
That's what happens when you're pushing 30 like us, and you just can't do what your body can't do what it used to.
No,
limitations these days.
Not at all. I push it to the limits, and then I found where my limits are. So
at least you know where they're at.
Yeah, it was. Oh, trust me, I know where they're at. But how was your guys' weekends, Ty? I heard you had a fun Saturday. Couple two thousand beers.
Yeah, I went golfing with McGrory. Shout out McGrory, and then naturally went to the bar afterwards. So you know,
where'd you golf?
Good day. Cary Country Club. Out
sounds
this way.
Fancy.
It's not. It's it was $39 for 18 with a cart, fall good special. Deal. So it's a good enough course, especially for that price. But it's nothing special at all. I love it though because it's very hilly.
What'd you
kind
shoot?
Of scenic. Scorecard said 95, but that ain't real. More like a 106. A lot of
we'll go with 101 for this episode.
How do you come up with a discrepancy of 11 shots?
Because I'd take mulligans because I'm not playing for anything. So if I have a bad shot, I'll do a mulligan.
Oh, so 95 is the score then?
Yeah, exactly.
I count that as a 95. Max takes unlimited mulligans. We know that.
Everyone does. I mean, if you're not
you
playing
guys,
for nothing, you're going
to. Sounds like you guys are great people to play golf with.
It just sounds like
I
great don't people.
Fuck. If
there's
I shank
actually,
one,
like there's a fine line. Like there's guys out there that are just miserable to golf with because they take the rules way too seriously.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even look for my ball half the time. If it's not on the fairway, I'm grab a ball.
This actually does sound like me and Ty are the best people to golf with.
What do you think about teabag yesterday?
Oh man, I think I'm a teabagger. I watched I think we've talked about this before.
Is there a quarterback controversy in the Windy City?
I think Matt Eberflus thinks or knows there is without knowing there is because he had to say Justin as our quarterback two or three times in the postgame press conference, which the more you say it, the less
believable it is.
Yeah, the less convinced you are that Justin's actually the quarterback.
Right.
So
it's like an insecurity kind of thing.
So that's kind of fun, but that was fun. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I watched the game, no sound on. When you don't watch it with the sound on, you can't tell what's going on. Like, I knew he was playing well, but I didn't know, like, if you'd have told me he had, like, 230 passing yards, I would have believed you. I think he had 160 I looked up today. I don't know.
The throw he made in the two-minute drill, like, right before halftime when he was on the move and –
third in like seven.
Yeah, to move the chains. That was like, okay. When he made that play, I was like, all right, he might be good.
So what you got to tell me, I was reading online that something, was it DJ Moore on the sideline he threw that to?
I think it might have been, yeah.
Whoever. I got up and like signal first down, I knocked my drink all over the table, so I didn't watch the rest of the drive. But I saw that Eberflus fucked something up with clock management or something. Was there what happened the rest of that drive? Because I know they didn't get any points. And I saw Nathan Peterman came in for a Hail Mary.
Yeah. And then they asked Badgins about it after the game. He's like, I don't know, I got a cannon.
Was he talking about his arm?
Yeah. He was like, they were like, can you make that throw? He's like, yeah, I got a cannon.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's odd. This is how my dumb brain works. If Bajent stays in, is it Bajent or Bajent, right?
I actually don't know.
We're going to go with Bajent. I heard one person say Bajent. if he just stays in to make that Hail Mary throw and gets it to the end zone, incomplete, right? We'll say incomplete or intercepted, whatever. Right now I'm thinking, I'm like, damn, he's the guy. But the fact that they took him out for Nathan Peterman, now I'm having second thoughts.
Yeah.
I don't like
that. I don't know, like, man. They did that to protect him, though. They didn't want him to get clobbered and then, you know, scrambling out of the pocket looking for a guy downfield. And I don't know. That's the way I took it, which is disrespectful as fuck to Nathan Peterman.
It could be the case, but I don't know if I buy that.
Oh, you're saying it's disrespectful to the backup now?
Well, because I think they took him out for fear of injury. And they're like, here, you go do it. See what happens.
And then did I also see that the very end of the game, God, I don't know why I wasn't paying enough attention, but at the very end of the game, it wasn't Bajent that took the kneel down. It was Peterman.
Well, yeah, I think they were up so much that they probably had like the backups to the backups in.
Yeah, how do you feel?
I don't know.
Peterman feels that he's
probably fine because he's making, he's probably pushing, making $1 million this year just to go in there and throw one Hail Mary and kneel on the ball. So he probably feels good.
Can you look up what who's the guy I was just talking about? Nathan Peterman. Can you look up what his salary is? I'm very curious.
What obviously
else? 0.1 mil.
Yeah, exactly. Are we at the point now where like this feels like a wasted season, right? Like they're 2-5.
What if they lost yesterday? Would that have been more of a wasted season or less of a wasted season?
No, I think it would actually have been better for them.
Oh, you think so?
Like, how are you thinking about their what's like your ideal outcome for this Bears season right now? 12-5.
I'm going to preface this with my mind is not in the right state to have a full conversation right now. I was thinking today, I had to go on a walk to just kind of clear my brain a little bit. A little Monday scaries action. I was thinking if they would have just beat the Broncos, they would have been 3-4 and they would have been in the hunt.
It's messed up. I've been saying that for a couple weeks now. But
you know, they have the best rush defense in baseball. Football
and baseball. Well, baseball for sure, but football, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Who's that? The Broncos or the Bears?
Well, the Bears.
Really?
The Bears are allowing the least yards per carry and yards per game in the league.
No, I would not have guessed that at all.
Right? Their defense over the past three games has allowed only 4 touchdowns. I think they're averaging like only 17 points per game, which is, I think I saw a tight 6th in the league.
I think the goal for me, basically, fine, keep Bajent or Bajent, however you pronounce it, on the roster. Like, he can be the backup. But the goal for me now needs to be, we need to be able to determine if Fields is the guy. Like, are they building around Fields, or are they potentially, like, trading him, moving him in the offseason, and then drafting a quarterback?
We are going to get out in front of this and say, as much as we will suck off Taysom. What's Tyler Bajent? What is his name? Tyson Bajent.
You've been saying it right. I'm pretty positive. Tyler. Yeah. Tyson Bajent.
Yeah, I think I just had a seizure. We're never going to be in the camp that he's the guy, right? Like that he is actually the guy, right? No. We can go out on record right now, hand up and say Tyson Bajent.
Simply not the guy. That game alone probably made him a career as a backup. Like he just established himself.
Perfect. Great guy to, you know, send memes about that his dad is a 28-time armor.
He might wind up being a guy that, like, even if he doesn't, like, if the Bears move on from him, like, some other team might give him a chance just solely based on that game.
Yeah. He reminds me of, he's like a East Coast Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
Something as an outsider looking in from the situation?
Yeah. Yeah,
I've watched a lot of Bears football this year just because, like, that's the local game we get. It felt like a different energy with this dude in. The whole team, for whatever reason, it felt like
– I mean
– it was just a different vibe.
For what it's worth, he's 1-0, and Fields is 1-5. So
don't call it a Tom Brady situation, but –
we're not going to call it that. Don't worry. Don't you worry.
Yeah,
we might have one on our hands.
Maybe. Probably not.
I think if anything, obviously this is like a knock towards Fields, right? Like the Raiders don't have a good. If you really want to like,
you're not feeling good.
Yeah, if you want to decipher something from this, like the Raiders defense is not good. And like Bajent didn't play fantastic. He played well, but
he had a 97 point something passer rating.
Like at the end of the day, the Bears won the game in convincing fashion, which they haven't done much of with Justin Fields at quarterback.
So the was in the last calendar year now. So it'll be like since October 24th. What did I write here? Yeah. October 24th of 2022. That was when the Bears beat the Patriots to go 3-4 last year. They went to lose the next 15 games. So by the time this podcast,
what's funny about that is that's why that during that stretch was when Fields was absolutely stuffing the stat sheet.
Right.
Just couldn't win games.
You know, it's also funny. So I was looking at what we posted around this time last year, and on the podcast, we were, we were talking about Bears cap space, like in signing DJ or trading for DJ Moore. That was something we had. But another topic we had was that the Bears are in the hunt at 3-4. And I was like, wow, my brain is just a flat circle.
It's the just, same.
I was thinking how if we were 3-4 this year, we would be in the hunt.
Dude, Bears fandom is a Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah. So I mean, to be honest, it is. So in the past calendar year, I'm looking at all the records in the NFL. The Bears are tied for last with a 2-15 record in their last 17 games, which is a 118 win percentage. They're allowing 30.5 points per game, scoring 21. The 30.5 points per game is the most by, yeah, I guess, 2 points over the Colts and the Broncos. The 21 points per game is it's middle of the pack, 14th, I guess. So it's not that bad. But yeah,
like I hate to sound like this. We are a pro Chicago, pro Bears podcast.
Oh, but
like we've seen so much of this shit that who's to say that even if they get the number one and number two pick in the draft next year, that they're not just going to fuck that up too. Like they might even draft generational talent. They might even get Caleb Williams or Marvin Harrison, but like, who's to say that they're not just going to ruin them?
Do you think if the Bears drafted Patrick Mahomes, he would suck?
I don't think he'd be the same guy he is right now without Andy Reid.
Yeah, I agree. But hey, I have a fun fact here for you. So
I don't even like to think about that universe for the sake of Patrick Mahomes, honestly.
I'm going to hit you with a nice fun stat that I
apologize for my negativity. I'm still scorned from spending all that money on the tickets to the Bears-Vikings game.
Yeah, that was a big doo-doo head move.
Mm-hmm.
Big doo-doo head move.
I even bought a turnover chain.
No, that's pretty sweet. That I think
let me grab nice. It. I'll put it on.
Oh yes, you know how like in hockey after every win they like hand out like their I think the Hawks this year have a turnover chain sort of thing they give out. You have to wear that and just give it out to the MVP of the episode. You can give it to yourself too.
Actually, we should do that every week.
Like, who is the MVP of the episode? And it's this like a, week, literally a 50-50 chance if you can't give it to yourself.
No, I'll actually give performance. Like a game ball, basically.
Yeah, that's what this. Yeah, this is the game ball. It's the turnover.
Don't put your balls anywhere near me, dude.
Bajent got the actual game ball in the locker room. On both sides, I'll give one on each side of the ball. Jalen Johnson for his pick six.
That was fun.
Did he have two interceptions?
Yeah,
two interceptions. Jalen Johnson on defense for sure, and then Deontay Foreman on offense, three touchdowns. I think he had.
Was good.
Did he have over 100 scrimmage yards? He was close.
120, I think I saw.
Yep. Shout out your fantasy team.
Yeah, Galt. I honestly, God, had no idea he was in my lineup. Not the slightest idea. Like, as bad as that sounds, I just didn't. I was drunk. Yep.
So there's my week seven MVPs.
I have three bear stats I want to throw at you, and I want your reaction to each. So, is it Deontay or Dante?
I think it's
or Dante.
I actually don't even know.
I'll go Dante. So Dante Foreman, he's on a list since 1960 of Bears with two rushing touchdowns and one receiving touchdown in the game. Matt Forte, Neil Anderson, Walter Payton, and Gale Sayers. So that's kind of cool.
That right? is pretty damn cool. Yes. Elite company.
I think it's Deontay.
It is Deontay. Right? Deontay.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Sweet.
I had to look up the phonetic bullshit.
So this is a cool one. Bears QBs to win their first NFL start since 1988. Tyson Bagent obviously was one yesterday. Can you name the other three?
Their Bears QBs to win their first NFL start. No, that's going to be tough.
So one was in 99, one was in 03, and one was in 04.
Cade McNown?
No.
Eric Kramer?
Oh, you're there.
Craig Krenzel?
In 04? Okay. Eric Kramer was not.
So Craig Krenzel is one of them.
Yeah, Craig Krenzel.
Chris Kringle?
Cordell Stewart?
No. His first NFL start wasn't with the Bears.
Oh.
NFL start, not their first.
Gotcha. I thought you meant first game with the Bears.
No, their first ever NFL start.
Okay. Surprise, Cade McNown wasn't one of them. I'm not going to get – I mean
– you're missing the 03 and the 99. I'll give you the 99, Shane Matthews. I don't think you would have gotten him.
No. I recognize the name, but would not have gotten that.
03, I know for a fact you know the name. We've talked about him extensively on this podcast. Maybe not extensively, but we've talked about him frequently.
Jim Miller.
God, no. Rex Grossman.
Oh, sexy.
Sexy Rexy. All right, and then this is, I guess I had four stats. I'm buzzing in, but I'm an idiot. And since 2011, there have been 15 quarterbacks to start for the Bears. Only two have won their first start. Tyson Bagent was one yesterday. Who was the other to win their first start as a Bear? Now, this is like a veteran. This isn't a rookie, obviously.
What year was this?
Ooh, I don't want to get – I think I would give it away.
Cutler.
No.
Chad Hutchinson.
Cutler was in 09. He made his first start, and Chad Hutchinson was like 04.
Well, you didn't give me a year, so.
Since 2011, I said.
Oh. What year was Caleb Haney?
No. It's not him. I think he was 07. He started a game. And maybe 2011 he started a game. But, yeah, no, he did not. He lost to the Raiders.
Man.
Man, Dish is going to be chef. Chase Daniel.
Okay. Wasn't going to get there, so thank you.
Sorry, my brain, I was watching a replay of this game. I might forget to tell you the answer. And then finally, my final stat, that this one we're all going to really enjoy. Over the last 3 weeks, the Bears are 2-1. The Bears have won two of the last three games, which is funny to think, right? In that time, the Packers have not won a game. Over that time frame, the Bears have beat the Raiders, and the Packers have lost to the Raiders. So by transitive property, the Bears are better than the Raiders. Thoughts?
I mean, yeah. You mean better than the Packers?
What did I say? Yes, better than
you
the
said
Packers.
Better than the Raiders.
You said Raiders.
Well, both. Both.
Yeah. I think they both suck. But the fact that the Packers lost to the Broncos coming off a bye, like the Packers were coming off a bye. They had 2 weeks to prepare for the Broncos, and they looked absolutely – couldn't have looked flatter.
Ferocious.
Like that just – it just made me so happy. I feel bad for your buddy Brendan because he just got married, and that's what he had to wake up to on Sunday. But
– Well, thank you.
He's one of the few Packers fans that I actually feel bad for.
I don't feel that bad for him. See, I think he thought Jordan Love went to like Utah or Fresno State because he couldn't figure out that Utah State was a college. So I'm not too worried about him.
Based on your ipso facto transitive property, I agree.
Yeah, I agree too. I think we're geniuses. Okay, so those are my fun facts. What do we have to do? On this days now?
Yeah, hit the on this days, would you?
October 20th. So we did the Bears Pats one October 24th. Here's another Bears Pats one. This one is just near and dear to my heart. October 26th, 2014, down 25 in the fourth quarter, Lamar Houston tears his ACL, celebrating a sack. Bears had given up, and this is while the Pats are in the red zone, ready to score again. The Pats ended up putting 51 points on the Bears that game. So, yeah, he's celebrating and fucking tears his ACL. Another thing I noticed on this post I'm looking at from last year, I replied to someone saying I tore my ACL, and I spelled tour, T-O-U-R.
You had golf on the mind.
Yeah, I definitely did.
Tour that shit, dude.
That has to be the worst way to tear your ACL is down 25 on the road.
I just looked up. Yeah, not great. I just looked up Lamar Houston's stats with the Bears. It's like he had 8 sacks in 2015, played a full season. No. Yeah. Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
He was supposed to be pretty good, wasn't he?
He was. I mean, yeah. I think he had like a bigger name than what his stats ever really were, to be honest with you.
I saw people, not that this has anything to do with Lamar Houston, but I saw a group of people yesterday wearing a Jared Allen, like just Jared Allen jerseys.
Bears or Vikings?
Bears. There's a flock
of really?
69 Jared Allen jerseys where I was.
That could be like one of two things. Either those people are.
I didn't talk to any of them.
They're either related to him or they just love the number 69.
I think it's going to be the latter.
Or combination of both.
Yeah, maybe. And then the second on this day is October 30th, 2016. For the first time since 1945, the Cubs win a World Series game at Wrigley Field. I was looking some stuff up before this, preparing. The Cubs going into game five there didn't score, or they scored only two runs. So they scored two runs in the first game, and then would that be 21 innings? So they scored two runs in 21 innings. And the pitch before Chris Bryant hits that home run to tie it at one, John Smoltz was saying that the Cubs need to get on the board right here. Otherwise, this could be game. Because if you remember, the Guardians or the Indians had that three-headed monster of Shaw, Allen, and Andrew Miller at the back end. I don't think people realize just how important that, like, a fourth inning rally, literally a fourth inning solo shot saved the season to me.
Yes.
Because they had Andrew Miller starting to, like, get loose, and he was going to go too. They all were going to go too. They were going to shove it right down our hoops. It was not going to be fun. Where were you when a solo shot in the fourth inning saved the season? My column. All right. Good talk, Max.
I was trying to think about where I was.
Max was sitting there playing with his turnover chain.
Didn't give the man enough time to think.
This was game seven, correct?
This was game five.
Yeah, game five. What was I doing?
Probably had your putt in your hand for
no,
sure.
No, I watched game five by myself because I legit thought that it was all going to end right there.
Yeah, same. Honestly, same. I was very scared. But, yeah, that's kind of a fun fact. Besides that, Ty, what do you got? You got anything else you want to talk about, Max, or you want to just go into Sporkle?
Picks.
Let's do picks and then Sporkle.
Picks.
Kid doesn't know the format of his own podcast.
How could I have forgotten? All right, let's look at picks here. Max, last week you went 2-2, so you're 12-4. I went 2-2. I'm 7-9. And Ty, you went 6-10, or you went 1-3, so you're 6-10. So Ty, you're in last place, so you start us off.
Yippee skippy for me, dude. I got Eagles minus 6.5 against the Commanders.
He was so prepared.
I have them written out because I'm a gentleman, dude.
We were waiting 45 minutes for you, so yeah.
And a scout.
Hooper's Hawk, dude.
No. Yeah. It was not 45 minutes. It was probably 4-2-5 minutes.
No. That's awesome.
And with that, Kyle, go ahead because I'm not ready.
I know. I have the Packers minus 2.5 over the Vikings at home. That's one that doesn't really make sense to me. Max B, you are up.
That makes no sense. So you take the side that makes zero fucking sense.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of a theme for me.
I appreciate what you did there.
That'll be a theme throughout my time here.
I'll just go Ravens minus 8.5 against the Cardinals. Ravens look like an absolute wagon against the Lions, and I'll just keep riding that.
I like it.
Naturally, I have to go with Steelers plus 2.5 against the Jags. We'll see. This one might bite me in the ass.
Mike Tomlin is, what did I see? He is like 56, 29-2 against the spread as an underdog. That's outrageous. Why are we not betting the Steelers as underdogs every time?
Well, pro tip, you bet the Steelers to lose the first half and them to win, and then you bet them to win the game, and it's bingo, bingo, bongo.
That's a pro tip? Nice.
Yeah.
How are they 4-2? It makes no sense.
I have no idea.
They're probably the worst 4-2 team.
They're in first place in their division.
The Steelers?
Crazy.
Mike Tomlin.
Technically, the Ravens are.
Well,
the Steelers are, because the Steelers have
had a bye, and the Ravens have not.
Yeah.
And the Ravens have 5 wins, and the Steelers have 4.
Yeah, I guess the math checks out.
Max was right.
No.
Here's a free pick. Texans minus 3. Not my pick, but free pick.
It's so funny you say that, because my underdog is Panthers plus 3, because it makes no sense.
Yeah. Texans coming off a bye.
Tell me, where does that make sense?
The reeling Panthers? It doesn't.
So I'm taking the Panthers plus 3. That's my second makes no sense bet.
I think you missed the boat on the doesn't make sense bets, because those all cash this weekend, actually.
Those bets are every weekend. You think that was just that's a one weekend prophecy?
Kind of, yeah. Like, the public has been winning this year.
You obviously don't know things that don't make sense.
I'm 12-4, buddy.
Oh, he pulled his record out.
Don't play it,
yeah, dude. Hell. It's fucked up. It's kind of braggadocious.
You're fucked. You are fucked.
Pretty braggadocious.
Let's see. Let me find an underdog here.
And this is the worst part of it, dude. He's 12-4, and he literally doesn't have picks until in the moment, and he just picks one out of the fucking clouds.
Oh, shoot from the hip.
Don't think too much into it. Yeah.
I'm going to take the Bears plus 8.5. I don't think the Chargers are
gross.
I don't think the Chargers are good.
I don't think the Bears are good.
Frauds.
Why? They just hung 30 on the Raiders. They're back. And I'm wearing this turnover chain.
For a goddamn reason. I'm going to go with Bucks and Bills over 42.5. And that's my story, and I'm fucking sticking to it, dude.
But I think the Bucs are so bad.
They are pretty bad.
I'm going Dolphins, Pats over 47. I just picked a random game.
The Giants, Jets total is 36.5 right now.
I saw where the Falcons playing. I saw that was low too.
God almighty.
Titans, maybe?
I'm going to go Eagles Commanders over 43.5.
It's fair.
That's one that
should be fair. I am going to go Texans Panthers under 43. Texans.
That one's going to go over.
Yeah. I figure I'm just going to go 0-4 like most weeks.
No, you're going to go. You're gonna go 1-3 with the Steelers are gonna win. Broncos, Seahawks under 40. Another one. I don't know. Next B. Your dog.
You mean my under? I'm going to go Chiefs Broncos under 46.
All right. The picks are in. Let's end day. Let's go.
Piccadilly.
All right. So for Sporkles, I really only have one I found that I enjoy. It's a five-minute.
One quick thing up real quick. I was looking up Gardner Minshew, and I forgot to bring up his nickname on Google says Jockstrap King. If you Google Gardner Minshew.
Where did he get that nickname?
No idea, but if you just Google it, if you just Google Gardner Minshew on the side, it says about. It says Jockstrap King, so that's kind of interesting, to say the least. Sorry, Ty. Keep going. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I wonder if that's a Wikipedia somebody changed. No?
All right, it wasn't really on Wikipedia. It was on just on about. So I'm not
the Google machine.
It's on Google, and that's got to be true.
103 answers. I certainly don't expect you to get all of these. 5 minutes. We are going Chicago Bears yearly rushing leaders between 1920 and 2022. Let's see if you can get back to like 1970. Ish.
I don't have high hopes for this one.
No?
No, but we'll try it.
Yeah, we'll be good.
You see it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Go.
Data not available. All right. There's 12 answers.
All right. That's unbelievable. They give you 12 answers off the dot. Neil Anderson.
Gale Sayers.
Anthony Thomas.
Red Grange. No. Sid Luckman. Wonder if Luckman ever did. No.
Fields.
Go Walter Payton, obviously. Forte. Jordan Howard. Thomas. Jones.
Cedric Benson.
Yeah, nice. Way to fill those gaps there. David Montgomery. Okay.
You got a bonus Ross in there, too, in 1970, dude.
That's what I was talking about. We knocked out all the 2000s, basically.
All right.
Rashad Salaam.
Yeah, was he on the Bears?
Salaam.
Oh, wow. Harlan Hill. Look up Hill. No, sick. All right. That's not
good. Who is pushing the rock for them in the 90s?
Pushing the rock. I honestly don't know. I'm more of a Cubs guy than a.
I mean, if you look at the yardage, they had. Whoever it was in 2000 had 1,100 yards. Pretty good.
What year?
2000.
Oh, damn.
Matsui.
S-U.
No, his first name's Matt.
You're responding like Hideki Matsui.
I think it's S-U-E-Y, right?
Yeah.
Is there an H in there? S-U-H-E-Y.
S-U-E-Y.
No Matsui. No Chop Suey. No soup for you.
This is where it gets.
Yeah, this could be where the rubber meets the road for the boys.
Yeah.
97 and 2000 is the hang up, huh?
There's a guy.
Name the 1933?
There was a guy named, his last name was Allen. I just don't remember his first name.
Thankfully, I can name 1932.
That's James Allen, 2000.
Furthest back in my memory, right after the data became available.
Yeah, you could hit give up. I don't know. Let's see some names here.
Curtis Ennis. Yeah, like never even heard of those other guys.
Oh, Bronco Nagurski, I've actually heard of. I never would have guessed them. Does it say Carl? Oh, Carl Garrett. I thought that said Carl.
Rick Cesaris. Never would have guessed him, but he was a Russian king, apparently.
Bob Margarita.
He's a Russian
Gotti. His name is
George McAfee.
Sweet.
There's a guy named Margarita.
Wait, Bronco Nagurski? Where is he at? Oh, he's okay. You put me in a pretzel there. I thought he was like in the 50s and the 30s. I was like, what the fuck?
How about Bob Margarita, dude?
How about Beady Feathers?
Bob Margarita might be my favorite player of all time.
You say Beady Feathers?
Beady Feathers.
Where is that?
1934.
Beady Feathers.
Best one yet.
Oh,